Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining my wife and I. Today, our discussion is Choose Life. In Deuteronomy 30:19, God said, "Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live."
That is such a great verse, Bill, and so appropriate at this time. And we just celebrate and thank God for the brave decision last week made by the Supreme Court providing life for countless unborn children.
That's right.
You know, I just wanted to quote what Gary Bauer with the Campaign for Working Families said. He said, quote, "The majority ruled that there is no right to abortion in the Constitution. Writing for the majority, Justice Alito declared, "The Constitution does not confer a right to abortion. Roe and Casey are overruled, and the authority to regulate abortion is returned to the people and their elected representatives. The Constitution makes no reference to abortion, and no such right is implicitly protected by any constitutional provision." The Constitution exists to protect life.
Exactly. Now, Gary Bauer continues, quote, he says, he is right. You will not find abortion anywhere in the Constitution. The Supreme Court invented the right to kill a preborn baby in 1973. No Congress and no Supreme Court majority in our history from 1787 to 1972 had discovered such a right before, because it isn't there.
Exactly.
Now, the court did not ban abortion. Now the states will decide this issue. As Christians, we must continue to pray and support those in power who clearly stand for the right of the unborn. You know, according to the Bible, when does life begin?
I know. We're going to go to the scripture because what God says is the most important. And Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb," this is God speaking, "before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you." And then let's take a look quickly at Luke 1:41, and this is when Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist. And it says, "And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb." And Elizabeth was pregnant for 6 months with John the Baptist at this point. And it's interesting how it says the babe leapt in her womb for joy when he heard it was Jesus, because Mary came in, she was pregnant with Jesus. So now that reveals to us that in the womb, the baby could hear, he showed excitement, and he reacted physically. And then Luke 2:21 states, "His name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." So that's showing when life begins.
Right.
That, and he was even named before he was conceived. Judges 13:5, "For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb." So that's interesting. The child was dedicated from the womb. And Psalms 139:13 says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb."
Those are great verses. You know, we're going to continue. Genesis 25:22-23 says, it was Rebekah, Isaac's wife, was pregnant. And it says, the children struggled within her. Now she wondered why. So it says, she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people." You can see now the impact of aborting these twins. Two entire nations would not exist today, the Edomites and the Israelites. Now this was Jacob and Esau, and this next verse confirms this. Hosea 12:3 says, "He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and in his strength he struggled with God." So it was talking about Jacob and Esau, and two whole nations that would have been aborted.
Exactly. Yeah. And we've had almost 70 million babies aborted over this almost 50 years. And we know that those are future pastors and, you know, police officers and, you know, politicians and that were aborted and their lives right. were taken.
Psalms 22:10 says, "From my mother's womb, you have been my God." Now, this was a psalm of David about Jesus. So in the womb, he's still our God. So yes. that means you're a person existing in the womb. Isaiah 44:2 says, "Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you?" Isaiah 58:3, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies." So we can see we're born with a sinful nature. And, you know, like a child, if you said, "Did you take that cookie?" The child would say, "Oh, no, I didn't." So it's in their nature, our nature, to lie or to do evil, you know, as people, because we're born under sin.
Born in sin.
Isaiah 49:1 says, "The Lord has called me from the womb, from the matrix of my mother. He has made mention of my name." So again, that's showing there's a person in the womb.
Yes, that's clear. The human being is alive in the womb, and life starts then.
Right.
You know, and Bill, God also hates the shedding of innocent blood, which abortion does. And Proverbs 6:16 says, "These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him: hands that shed innocent blood." And also 1 Samuel 19:5 states, "Why then will you sin against innocent blood to kill David without a cause?" And 2 Kings 21:16 says, "Moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood, doing evil in the sight of the Lord." You know, and we can see that in the Old Testament. And the Bible says God changes not. And we can see that, Bill, you know, when you read like 1 Kings and 2 Kings 23, how the like Solomon was one of them, and some of these kings where they built these high places for the pagan wives they married to go worship these gods. And one of them was Molech, where they would actually give their live children, their little infants, into the fire in the hands of this statue of Molech and burn them up
right.
as a sacrifice. So they were doing child sacrifice, and God said it was an abomination.
Exactly.
Which is the same thing as what we've witnessed all these almost 50 years here in this country.
Right.
And then Isaiah 59:7 says, "Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood."
That's what we see now. That's what they've been trying to do, you know, killing these children, you know.
I know. And why would you be on the side that on the left that's so angry, wants to instill violence and threats and over all this just for the right to kill an unborn child? It's absolute insanity.
It is.
Deuteronomy 19:10 says, "Lest innocent blood be shed in the midst of your land, and thus guilt of bloodshed be upon you." That's so right. It's like it brings a curse on the land.
Exactly. It's hard to believe people would fight to kill an innocent baby. It's just, anyway. Now, we know there are some Christians who may be ignorant of the many scriptures in the Bible that are against abortion. However, ignorance is no excuse. We are each responsible to know where the Bible stands on this issue. Besides, our born-again spirit knows God is against killing innocent babies. You know, it's amazing to me that even some who know what the Bible says regarding this issue will still defend a platform that fights for laws supporting abortion.
And as Christians, we do not have the right to vote or support those in power whose views and actions are diametrically opposed to God and His Word. I mean, how can we justify voting for those who are for murdering unborn children? How would God see us? As an accomplice to murder?
Right.
I mean, what child of God wants to face their Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment without repenting of that sin? I mean, if you've already had an abortion, God is ready to forgive you when you truly turn from a sinful lifestyle and ask His forgiveness. The blood of Jesus is so powerful, it will cleanse you from the shame and guilt of this act and bring healing to your soul.
That's right. You know, if we claim to be a Christian, we must examine the scriptures and place those above our feelings and our opinion. God commands us to choose life.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.